So when Moses and his people, Pharaoh and his people, pardon me, pursuing Moses, Moses had rational insight into the spiritual matter. That's the water moved and the dry land showed up. He knew the rational basis of the spiritual life. You see? And Pharaoh and his people didn't know that. They were high in the material sciences, but their religion was spooky. Isn't that the West? Isn't the West the same Pharaoh? Oh, they build great monuments. They build great skyscrapers. They know all about chemistry and the atom and electricity and chemistry and physics, and they know all the sciences. But when you talk to them in religion, they sound like backwoods, superstitious, primitive people. Isn't that not a fact? So that's why you don't see them challenging us. They got more sense. They don't challenge us. They know they will drown. But they send their little black dupe. They had a little black dupe come out and chase, make trouble, aggravate. Keep something going all the time. Slinking devil. So the lesson in Pharaoh we want to learn is this. That whoever believes in falsehood, tells lies, especially about his own reality, he's on weak ground. And when the man that has the truth, rational truth, come against him, he's in for defeat. He's in for defeat. He will lose. You know, the Quran tells us that Allah's word, that all about us are the signs of God, right? See, but most people go heedless. They don't even pay attention to these things. They don't give their mind attention to those things. Well, Bible and Quran mentions shadows. And I thought about it. In the daytime, in the early morning, when the light first dawns, you don't see any shadow. But as the light gets brighter, you start to see shadows, right? And the shadow first goes in the direction of the sun. The sun is coming up from the east and going west. And the shadow first goes west, like the sun is going, until the sun reaches the zenith, the noon, the midway point, and then the shadow goes in the opposite direction, right? Instead of going the way the sun is going, it goes then in the opposite direction. Now, you know, man is like that. We're like that. We come up naturally, we're born as nature brings us here. And our attention is outward, right? The attention is outward. The vision is going forward. And the interest, the things that we are interested in, are outside of ourselves. Children are not born selfish, are they? No, they're not born selfish. They're born with their interest going out to you and to the world and to the things that they want to get involved in. But it reached a certain point in his mind where man, he wants to know everything. The shadow somehow disappears within himself. You know, when noon comes, isn't that, that's the way it looks? The shadow is out going ahead in the direction of the sun, westward from the object. But when noon comes, the shadow looked like it draws right back into the object, right? And the object ain't casting no shadow. Looked like it drew itself into the object. Well, isn't that how some of us get when we think we know it, when we get up high as we can go? You know, sun rising, get high, right? Get as high as it can go, then all the tension is right in itself, right? Isn't that how some of us are? And then something happens. The sun started declining. Can't go up no higher. Can't go up no higher. It starts coming down. It starts coming down, and now the shadow has reversed. It's not going westward. Now it's going eastward. Right? It's going back in the direction that the object came from. Now, isn't that the human being? I don't want to elaborate on this too much, but isn't that the human being? We are just like that. We get to a point where we think we know it all. We done got up to the height. We're on top of everybody now. We're the big eye and eye. We're the big eye, you see. And then all of our interest is all in ourselves. All of our concern now is self, just on self. Become very selfish. But something happened at that point. You die. Oh, yes. Now, many of us don't know that noon is a sign of death. It's also a sign of death. See, Allah says in the Quran that there's a sign in this that you take sleep both during the night and during the day. That you take sleep. Your sleep comes both during the night and during the day. Now, you know, most of us, we can go all day without sleeping. But that doesn't mean your sleep doesn't come during the day. Because once we accept a job that's the night job, we go all night without sleeping, right? But still, night is for sleeping. Whether we go all night without it or not, night is for sleeping. And if you would give in to your nature, you would take a rest at noontime, around that time. Because that's when your nature tell you you should get a little rest. You see? So it says a sign in that you take your rest in the night and in the day at these two particular times. So what is the sign of? That man also dies in the light. Man dies in the light of his reasoning. You see? Night is symbolic of spiritual life. Symbolic of the spirit. Day is symbolic of the rational vision. How do we know this? The Quran plainly tells us that. And he has made the day for seeing, rational vision. It says, and he has made the day for rational vision and for going about your work, doing your livelihood. So this is rational vision. Allah tells us that, so there's no question about it. We know that day is for rational vision. And then light, night must be symbolic of the spiritual side of life, you see? So you take rest in both. Some of us think we know everything, and we become attached and so confident in the power of reasoning and the rational faculty that we reject faith. We reject ideas that are supported by faith in God. Ain't nothing but what I can think. Ain't nothing but what my mind can see. In fact, we were taught that, weren't we? Don't believe in nothing that your mind can do. That's what we were taught. We were taught there was no life after death, no resurrection from the dead, all of those things. We're told don't believe in nothing. If you can't work it out rationally, don't believe in it. Mathematics is Islam. Islam is mathematics. And we made so many mistakes with mathematics. But that's what we were told, you know. So, again, Allah says in the Quran, there are some who hunger so much for the light that they put their eyes, as a person, putting their eyes to the light, to the sun, and lose the eyes. The eyes are blinded. The eyes are put out. You see? Well, some of us are like that. What is that? What lesson is that? The lesson is this. God has only made your intellect, your rational mind, capable of doing so much and knowing so much. You have to depend upon him and have faith as well as rational knowledge, as well as mind. Have faith. And if you don't, if you pursue your own limited knowledge, the closer you get to science and to facts and give yourself to it and try to see it, try to see the end of it, you can't see the end of it. This is Allah's work. It's too big for you to see the end of. If you try to digest everything and find the conclusion to everything and see the end of everything, you'll be putting your eye to the light that will put out your eye. Shouldn't there be a sign in that? that the closer you get a bright light to your eye, the harder it is for you to see. You have to keep it a reasonable distance away from your eye if you want to see. Praise be to Allah. So these things are very important for us, because this world knows better, but it makes the masses stupid. People that run this world, they know better. They know they don't know everything. They know man's intellect is limited. They know they have to have faith. They know that. Man is just a creature. He's limited. But they want the masses to think that logic is the end of everything. Once you know logic and you can reason, that's the end of everything. You don't need no more church. You don't need religion. If you want it, just do it for formality, or do it just to be doing something routine. Just make it, but do it for the wife or just for the people. But you don't need that. Isn't that what they mind they give us in academia? Yes, you know it. You've been to school higher up in college than I have. I just walked in there one couple of days. Before I was there 2 days, they started dropping that on me. Like now that you're here now, you know, there's all this other stuff about faith and God and all that stuff, you know. Take it or leave it. This is the end of it. This is the end of knowledge. Yeah, that's the way they give it to you. But they're giving it to stupid people. They're giving it to the people they want to go out and do their thing, want to go out and support their system, and blindly carry the burden for them. You see? So we have to understand that. So again, the lesson in Pharaoh is this, that the idea that I am God, see, that's what happened. See, Pharaoh, he centered everything upon himself. The whole world became centered in him. Now he see himself, I'm the God. I'm the axis for the universe. Everything's centered in him now. No more faith. Pharaoh said, oh, faith in nothing. Me! No shadow of faith. No shadow of concern. No shadow of interest in anything outside of himself. So that kind of person, when they are met with the people who have knowledge, then their emotional nature drowns them. And I have seen it. No one wants to argue with me. You know that? I can't buy them. I can't pay them. Sometimes I think maybe we should try to pay them something to argue with me. I can't pay these people to argue with me. I cuss them out. I try to make them angry. I do everything to them. Try to make them angry enough to say, yeah, I'll debate you, brother Imam. They won't do it. No, they won't do it. Or they know they are drowned. So much for the angels and Pharaoh. Now let us reflect on a few teachings from Quran, and then we will close. Now in the Quran, in the chapter Al-Ma'idah, the table spread, in the third verse, I believe it is. I'll have it just a moment here. The third verse. Says, this day, in English, this day have those who disbelieve despaired of your religion. So fear them not and fear me. This is Allah speaking. This day have those who disbelieve despaired of your religion. Now in another translation, it gives it like this. Says, this day, those who disbelieve have given up hope of ever turning you back from your religion. which is translation here, it's the same if you understand it. Means that they despaired, meaning they've given up hope. They've given up hope. What was their hope? Their hope was to turn the people back, the Muslims back from their religion. You see? Now, there's also evidence in Quran clear, in fact, clearly given in the Quran, that they had planned to turn Prophet Muhammad back from his religion. It says then the rejectors, the disbelievers, their plan was to make you go astray from your religion, to make you go astray. Now, we have to understand this. This is talking about, I'm speaking to Muslims now. I'm talking to you Muslims, the true believers here, who really believe in Allah and the Quran. You have to understand what it's saying, that there were people who thought they could make Prophet Muhammad go off from the path that Allah was leading them on. They thought they were so shrewd. They thought they were clever enough, shrewd enough. They thought they were heavy enough in the religion and in the wisdom to influence Prophet Muhammad to go off from the direction that God had inspired him upon, set him upon. But they failed. They failed why? Because Allah was guiding Prophet Muhammad. They couldn't win. No win. And here in this verse, the third verse, it says, this day have those who disbelieve despaired of your religion. Al-yawma ya'isal ladhina kafaru min deenikum. This day have those given up any hopes, those who reject have given up any hopes of taking you away from your religion. Don't you know that we have great forces working? First, they tried to take me away. They tried to get me to go astray from the right religion. I mean, after the death of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they tried hard to get me to go off the right path, or the straight, the right, correct path of Al-Islam. They gave up. They figured they couldn't do that. They gave up. They tried, and they saw that they wasn't going to be able to do that. Not by the methods they were using. Anyway, I don't know whether they've given up or not, but I know they're not using the same method. Now they hope they can wear me out another way, perhaps. So, well, if he keeps seeing his works, his efforts defeated, maybe he will give up. You know, if he keep choosing people and they keep disappointing him and he keep coming out to the masjid and the attendance don't grow, he keep telling the people what he wants and nothing gets done, maybe in the long run it's a wham out and maybe he will change. Well, what you have done is nothing. Now, I don't know what my limit is. Only Allah knows that. But I'm telling you right now, what you've done so far is nothing. You got to come out with something much better than that to get me to change. I'll wear you out. Because your faith ain't as strong as mine. My faith in what I believe in is much stronger than your faith in what you believe in, that game you plan. I think I done sent many of them to the nut house. Yeah, and gone to crazy house. I give up. Now, let's see here. We want to read some more here. Says, now look, says, this day have they despaired who disbelieve, given up hope, that is, of turning you back from your religion. And it goes on to say, So fear them not. Fear me. Allah speaking himself. Fear me. Allah speaking. And it goes on to say, this day have I perfected for you your religion. This day have I perfected for you your religion. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. This day have I perfected for you your religion. Now this word that is used, akmaltu, it has as its meaning the completion of something, making it complete, you see? So, and he translates it like that. Or he says, I have perfected for you religion. But it means completeness, in the sense of completeness. Also, and it says, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'amati. Wa atmamtu. Now, here's a word. It carries the meaning of completion, too. But it's talking about what? Ni'amati. And it's translated here, my favor. Ni'amati, my favor. The favor is what Allah preferred or chose for those that would obey him, would accept and do his will, obey him, right? For those who would accept and do his will and obey him, then he promised them something. He favored them with something. I'll give you something that I'm not going to give the others. So he promised them something. He favored them with something. So that is the completion of that. He's going to complete that. He's going to complete that. Now, what he completed, it has to be, this word is more perfected. Tamam. Something that's tamam is complete, perfect, tamam. And the verb here is used from that word, completion, perfection. Suggests that, pardon me, indicates that something of the favor of God was incomplete, was not yet perfected or not was incomplete that was on with the people. That is, that he didn't perfect it and complete it with Abraham, with Moses, with Jesus, with none of them, but in this day, in Prophet Muhammad, in the Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, peace be on the Prophet, then it was completed and perfected. You understand? Okay, so now they have despaired. How come they're despairing? See, now you understand how come they're despairing. Their intention was to manipulate the Muslims, to instigate things, to create distractions, to influence them, to frustrate them, to do everything they possibly could to prevent them from coming into full knowledge, full awareness of Allah's religion, his promise, his favor on man. See, but once they saw that the Prophet had come into the full vision, the full knowledge of that, then they said, well, hell, it's over. There's nothing more we can do. He has even reached beyond us. He has the thing completed. God has completed it for him. We can't beat him. He got it. You see? They were after beating him, defeating him. So they would be the only ones that would have that. You see? But God blessed him, guided him on until he completed it and perfected it for Prophet Muhammad. And when they saw that he had gotten it, it was complete. See, they had been wrestling with it. They had been guessing and working on it themselves. So they knew when it was, oh no, what we were looking for, he got it. He got it. What we were looking for, he got it. It's perfect now. It's complete. Ain't nothing we can do. The Muhammad's got it. Ain't nothing we can do, you see? Praise be to Allah. So, dear beloved Muslim, let us go on now and read so we can understand what is being said here. Yes, this day have those who disbelieve despaired of any hope of returning you back from their religion, so fear them not and fear me. This day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor to you and has chosen for you Islam as religion. And in Arabic, you know, it's al-Islam, deen as religion. It says, but whoever is compelled by hunger not inclining willfully to sin, then surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. Now we know this is referring to the things that are prohibited for Muslims to eat that were named above here, which all have a bearing on what God is saying in this verse, in this ayah. Let's go on now to the next reading, the ayah 4. They ask thee, that is, they ask Muhammad, peace be on him, they ask thee as to what is allowed them. Say, the good things are allowed to you. You see there? That kind of reply, can't you tell what kind of people was asking? Devious people. Not asking for, not out of innocence, just to be guided rightly, but they're asking to try to embarrass. They're trying to find flaws. They want to find weakness. They want to ask a question that they think will embarrass the prophet or embarrass the believers. They ask thee as to what is allowed them. Say, the good things are allowed to you. In other words, common sense should tell you what's allowed. Now, what's your point? What are you after? Common sense should tell you what's allowed. This is God's way. The good things are allowed.